You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Just like VCU basketball, you'll hear it tonight, 7 o'clock tip, 6:15, AWOD pregame show from the Commonwealth Club, where I'll be rubbing shoulders with the fancy people. Our boss, BZ, is in town, got to put on a show for the boss. VCU's going to put on a show tonight against St. Peter's. The Peacocks will come strutting into the Siegel Center. Robbie Robinson will be on the call. He joins us on game days. Robbie, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, MP. Good to have you guys come tonight. Looking forward to seeing the head honcho in town. So we're putting our best foot forward, so it should be a fun night for him as well. Everything good in your world? How's the sports radio world, Michael? Is it treating you well today? Are the callers excited? Is there a lot of back and forth? I haven't had a chance to listen. I've been in meetings all morning, but I'm just envisioning just great dialogue on your show today.
As we say, Robbie, after the Commander season goes in the toilet, after everybody calls and gets it out of their system, we have a phrase for that, and we say, this is 910 The Fan, home of VCU basketball. And we are firmly the home of VCU basketball these days.
I hate it for my friends. I hate it for the Adam Epsteins of the world, but I'll gladly take all your interest, all your passions, all your opinions, and we'll wear those proudly at VCU.
We are cooking up a Monday road trip to Raleigh because I'm excited. You know, the team has to take it one game at a time, but I don't have to. Those are the rules.
No.
I'm excited for that because we'll get to see our old friend Will Wade, get to watch these guys test themselves in a big environment. I think that's going to be a fun day of basketball.
That would be great. It's like, so we played, what year did Virginia win the national championship? That was like 2019, I think, if I'm not mistaken. That was the year they won it.
Because then in 2020, it was canceled due to COVID. So they were actually reigning champs for 2 years.
For 2 years, right. That was the last time we played an ACC team in their home gym.
How'd that go? That go all right?
We lost that one.
I'm thinking of the other one. My bad. I was teeing you up for the triumphant. I'm old.
We all are. It all runs together after a while. That was the one that they called that 5-point play on us with Kyle Guy. Like, Kyle Guy hit a three. Might have been a 6-point play. Kyle Guy hit a three. He got fouled. And then we fouled another guy, too, or something happened. Anyway, we were up like three, and then we left the floor down two. And it was legitimately a 5-point play. And Virginia never looked back, won the national championship, which was exciting for them. Anyway.
If you had told me this morning, Robbie, that Travion Graham 3-point shot was 12 years ago, I would have called you a liar. But
a dozen years ago that Travion hit that three.
Man.
12 years ago. If you're 18 years old and listening, because that's a big demographic I know for sports radio on the AM, is you were six. You're just entering kindergarten, and now you are a senior. You could be at UVA. You could literally be at UVA as a first year at Virginia. You're living in the old dorms, and Travion hit that shot when you were a kindergartner.
Okay, let's talk about the future, though, which is not AM radio, but that's okay. We love our listeners. You got to see the future in Dallas because you went to the big IMAX dome where they show the games, and it's like you're there.
How did I tell you that? Did I tell you we did that? We did. I went to COSM. COSM is the name of this bar. There's two of them. There's one in Los Angeles, and there's one in Dallas. And the one in Dallas was 10 minutes away from our hotel. And it is, you say IMAX, and it's really, that's shorting what it is. IMAX is a great screen. They do wonderful. You go watch a movie in IMAX, and you're definitely there. But this is more of a dome, immersive. It goes over you a little bit. And, Michael, I am telling you, it was like you're there. Because the camera that they have at these games, it's not like having the I guess that night would be the prime video feed with like replays and stuff. No, they have these different cameras in the stadium that I guess somehow COSM, the sports bar, is licensed with the NFL. And so you see a 290 degree vantage point. So if you're sitting there, like, you can look kind of to the right side of the screen and you see the end zone, and you look to the left, it's almost like you're there. It was amazing. Like, it was absolutely amazing. I highly recommend it. The game was terrible, I guess. It was a 10-7 Denver Los Angeles or Vegas Raiders game, unless you love low scoring games, in which case it was the best thing in the world for you. But it was really cool. If you're in LA or you're in Dallas, they're opening one in Detroit, they're opening one in Atlanta. I highly recommend it. You will need to get a home equity line. I think you can call our friends at Cash Center Mortgage for a home equity line.
Oh, well played.
It is super expensive, but it was great. Like, did I send you the pictures?
No, you told me about it briefly, and then we had to do a radio segment. You know, I had to do my job, but I was excited to hear it.
Radio segments are the worst. Yeah, it was fun. I'll send you a picture. It'll pop your eyes, man. It's really cool.
That's awesome. And the smooth sponsor read. That's why you're the best, Robbie Robinson.
What am I going to do without that?
On the call tonight, VCU hosting St. Peter's. Tell me what I need to know about the Peacocks coming into this one.
Oh, what's you need that you're afraid to ask? Everything you need to know about the Peacocks that you're afraid to ask. They're coached by Bashir Mason, who was the coach at Wagner when they came in 4 years ago and beat us at the beginning of the year. And then he got the job at St. Peter's because the coach at St. Peter's at the time was Rasheem Holloway, and he got the St. Seton Hall job. So Bashir Mason, there's a long history with Bashir Mason. Not only did he win that game with us when he was at Wagner, but I guess like two decades ago, he was at Drexel and hit some shot and jumped on our scores table and ripped his shirt off like he was Lou Ferrigno. I'm not sure exactly how much of that is true or not, but that's what I've heard.
It gets better with every telling.
It really does, doesn't it? So that's who we're dealing with from a coaching standpoint tonight. And his team is a lot of new guys, like everything. You know, they're probably one of those schools that they're plucked more than normal. Like, they're kind of in the plucky, and I think they're the plucky. So they lose a lot of guys, but they can shoot it. Like, they can hit threes. They got this guy Brent Bland that had 27 against Fairleigh Dickinson the other night in a win for them, and he hit 6 of 9 threes. So I don't care who you are, who you're playing. If you hit 6 of 9 threes, you need to have your eyes open on him. They have this other guy, Bryce Eaton, who is a preseason All Metro Athletic or Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference guy. He had 13 against Fairleigh Dickinson the other night. He's a returner. They have like one or two returners. They have a couple freshmen that look pretty good. They have a graduate student that's been at 5 different schools, which is exciting. And yeah, I mean, I think this is a game that I don't think the Rams can sleepwalk through it by any stretch of the imagination. They have to defend the 3-point line, but I think it's one of those that VCU needs to, if they take care of their own business, they should have enough talent to take care of the Peacocks.
And it's a great opportunity for the fans to get out to the Siegel Center ahead of a little bit of a road swing, because you've got Bahamas coming up as well after this. Some big games on the slate.
NC State, the NC State game on Monday will be a... that'll be a grinder. And then you're right. Then we go to the Bahamas, and we have the South Florida Bulls, and then Vandy or Western Kentucky, and then the Hokies are down there as well. So they'll be lurking. It would be great to get a matchup against the Hokies, I think, down in Atlantis. How great would it be if we played them in the championship game of the Atlantis tournament? I just feel like that would be so spectacular.
A true international matchup, because they have the Greek kid, Neo Avdalis.
Yeah, and he's like really good, right? Like, he's like a stud. He was going to go in the draft. The Hokies had this kid who was going to go in the draft, but then he decided not to, and now he's a Hokie, and like he had like 30 or something the other day against Providence, right?
But 32 in an overtime game. But you've got Lazar Djokovic, so I mean, certainly
we do.
We're holding our own as well.
We have. I'm telling Michael, we've got a talented team. So Rodney and I are sitting there in the second half on Friday, and we're down 18, and you know the emotions. The emotions of a play-by-play guy, Michael, they are real, and they are. I need to handle them better sometimes, because it's just a roller coaster ride. If we're not playing well in the first 5 minutes, I really need to govern myself to think that we're not going to just be terrible forever, because they're college kids and they're going to make changes. But we're down 18 in the second half, and I'm thinking, man, I just hope we keep this somewhat respectable, so in the morning when people look at the score, they don't immediately write us off for the rest of the year because we happen to lose a game by 20 or 22. Lo and behold, it comes storming back. And
tie
I think
game.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a little bit of havoc in what Phil Martelli does. And with our depth of being able to put fresh legs in the game, I think that's a real thing. And I think that's a real superpower of this basketball team. We can also score in bunches. You know, we're down, our Rams down 11, and next thing you know, it's a three. You're down eight, and then you hit another three. Whoa, five. It's amazing how the three-pointer just can chip away at leads, isn't it? Like, no lead is safe. No lead is safe. If you're up 11 with 3 minutes left, that's a three-pointer, a steal, another three-pointer, and now it's five, and you're nervous.
Well, let's not do that again tonight. Was fun, I enjoyed it. And you theater of the mind. I got to listen to you guys because I couldn't figure out the broadcast. But that's my problem.
That could have been our number. No. You didn't miss anything because apparently it was just rotating. It was buffering the entire time.
That's what I
just
got.
Nothing but buffering. And that was, people were texting me about that as if that is any of my issue at all. I have more say in the offense that Utah State happens to be running than I do buffering on Urban. Like, I got tweets like, hey, Robbie, it's buffering. It's like, what makes you think I have anything to do with that? Like, I listen to the doggone radio station. Like, we sound perfect on the radio station. That was probably one of our more listened to broadcasts ever because of the buffering and because of the size of the game.
It sounded great. I listened.
Thank you, Michael.
I trust a lot of other people did as well. This is what the weatherman must feel like every day. Like, oh, geez, it's raining. Thanks a lot, weatherman. You know?
And yeah, right.
And not them. It's not on them. Robbie Robinson, Rodney Ashby, they're on the call tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:15 right here on The Fan, AWOD pregame show. Looking forward to it, and we will chat on Monday.
I look forward to it, too. MP, it's always great having you on my headset. Both of those things are always great. And we look forward to seeing people tonight. Still some tickets available, as you said, vcutix.com. And if you can't make it, you can listen to the trio of Adam Epstein, Rodney Ashby, and Robbie Robinson. You guys have a good rest of your day, man.
Thank you, Robbie. Slide on down. The Peppas have a twirler this year. I was texting CK about that. They raise the bar every year. I know they've had a twirler before, but it always impresses me when they do that indoors. All right, we got to step away. We're going to take a break. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 104.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
5-1-F. 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. VCU Game Night. Chatted with Robbie Robinson, the voice of the Rams. Another guy who will be courtside tonight is, of course, Zach Joachim of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Bring him on momentarily. He's also got plenty to say about high school football playoffs, I'm sure. Playoffs start this week on The Fan. That's Friday night. A little Friday night lights, of course, as we do here after a great season. Gary Hess still on the injured list. For those of you not following the Gary Hess story, Gary Hess, and he said this on air, so I'm not spilling Gary's secrets, ran over his leg with his truck, which is, that's his own thing. That was bad. And as he was recovering from that, he dislocated his kneecap in his other leg, which I'm only laughing because what are the odds of that happening back-to-back? So he has no usable leg, so he will not be climbing the stairs to the press box this weekend. But Hokie Steve will. The show must go on. Hokie Steve and Coach Chris will be on the call, 910 The Fan, 6:30 pregame show on Friday night. Then they'll kick it off in Region 5C. It's Midlothian and Hermitage, a couple brand name teams right there. So Gary was hoping to make it back for the playoffs. Hopefully he still will at some point. But Hokie Steve, Coach Chris on the call Friday night, 6:30 p.m. on The Fan. And then Monday night, we're right back to VCU basketball. AWOD and I cooking up a road trip to Raleigh, which I think will be a ton of fun. Our next guest will most certainly be there. He is Zach Joachim of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Zach, good morning.
You guys are going to the Will Wade Bowl, too?
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it. That's going to be a fun basketball game.
It is, and it's going to be a fun... I'm going to see our friend Noah Fleischman.
He writes for the Wolfpack right now. He's dead to us, Zach. We got to burn the bridges and move on.
Noah does some awesome coverage down there and was my successor at the Commonwealth Times, VCU student newspaper. So we got a whole big DCU reunion here between me and Noah and Will Wade. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What's the Batman thing? You either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. Will Wade? I'm going Will Wade. Will Wade is the opposite of that saying. He has somehow, he was a villain who has somehow lived long enough to become a hero.
It's very true, isn't it? Because I think in the age of revenue sharing, people, it's hard to, you know, judge a coach ethically right now for making a strong ASS offer, as Will Wade did. And we all realized that around the country there were a lot of coaches making strong offers to recruits those days, and now it's all the way out in the open. And then from a VCU perspective, Power Five coaches scheduling home and homes of their own volition. Like, we all, you know, we all know about the home and home clause, and Will having to come back and play VCU when he was with LSU. Obviously, there was quite a bit of hubbub over the summer about Mike Rhodes and Penn State buying out the home and home. But Will Wade at a Power Five program, playing Power Four, whatever it is these days, playing VCU and willingly scheduling them in a home and home, I think has certainly endeared him to the fan base a great deal here. And so I feel like people kind of like Will Wade again around the VCU community these days. After all the consternation around the exit, he's a fan favorite again.
Yeah, and the other exits have gone not phenomenally as well, which I think has helped him out. Like, he was always 1 foot out the door. People are like, oh, he was just using us. And now, like, all of college sports is just people using other people. Like, he was ahead of his time, Zach.
That he was. And I would say, I think Coach Odom was quite amicable, right? I mean, everyone, yes, I think, kind of accepts that he grew up around the UVA program, and that's always where he was kind of supposed to end up. And he was successful in the 2 years at VCU. Him and Ed McLaughlin still have a strong relationship. But yes, I think in the eyes of many VCU fans, I will qualify that I have had great journalistic relationships with Mike Rhodes and Ryan Odom, and I've appreciated all of them from a coverage standpoint. But I think for a lot of VCU fans, Mike Rhodes has kind of replaced Will Wade as the villain here.
Give me your 1 month in read on Phil Martelli Jr., what you've seen from his teams and your kind of initial vibe check on him.
Man, it's a really fun brand of basketball to watch, right? I mean, everything that we had expected in terms of the pace is there. They're seventh in the country in adjusted tempo right now. They really get up and down the floor. And it's a fun team to watch, and they mirror the style that his Bryant team's played. Two games in, I don't know if we can draw that many conclusions. This is obviously a really talented team. I think that they don't have that guy, you know, that you're really going to lean on as, you know you want him taking the shot late in the game. We've talked about that before with what Max Scholga was for this program last year. And Phil has said that, you know, that we don't have that guy who's the head of the snake, right, for this group. They've certainly got a great deal of depth, and they're going to be able to rotate 10, 11 deep. They're going to wear teams down. You saw that on Friday night against Utah State, I think. That was part of why they were able to make that run late in that game, because when you're able to use as much depth as Martelli is and play at the pace that they want to, that's going to wear opposing teams down. I don't know how much you can draw from the Wagner game. Seahawks made some tough shots in that first half, right? I don't think VCU's defense was bad in that game, and then they were really good in the second half. And I think that Utah State team really has a chance to be a 7-8-9 seed in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. The line was, you know, -2.5, right? They're picked to finish second in the Mountain West, and they ended up losing by 3, and it was tied with just a few seconds to go. And so I think it's about par for the course so far, right? This team has a lot of potential. There's obviously some disparate parts that are still coming together and gelling and building cohesion. And I think there's going to be a couple of hiccups in this non-conference slate, which sucks because the opportunities are so early, right? NC State's on Monday, and the Bahamas and Utah State was just second game of the season. But I fully expect them to win 14 games in A-10 play, right? And be right there, you know, in the top four seeds and competing for a conference title and 10-11 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Disparate is the Zach Joachim word of the day. He's a professional journalist, folks. Richmond.com, the Richmond Times Dispatch. I've got a theory on that. I think the answer is it's Nick Lewis. He just can't do it yet because he's a freshman, but he will grow into that.
He looks special, doesn't he? I mean, he looks like one of the, not just one of the best freshmen in the A-10, he looks like one of the best freshmen in the country. And that makes sense given that he's been to USA Basketball, U19 training camp, right? He's competed with some of the best prospects in the nation in his age bracket, and he has shown us why Phil Martelli trusted him to start as a true freshman, right? I mean, this group of guards, and Terrence Hill has played really well, too, early on, and we all know everything that Brandon Jennings can do and contribute to this team. And I've liked what I've seen from Ahmad Noel too. And so this group of four young guards, I think that's probably your most exciting thing over the course of the season, right? Is to say that we've seen flashes from all of them through these two games, and they're only going to continue to grow over the course of the year. And hopefully, if Phil can maintain that group together, you know, for another year or two down the road, that's obviously hard in today's college basketball world, but my goodness, the sky is the limit for that group of four young guards that are incredibly talented.
Yeah, and I think they'll be special today as well against St. Peter's. You got VCU St. Peter's, home game before the big one going to Raleigh. I had one other question for you about VCU basketball. I've seen Jadrian Tracy referred to as Bam Tracy. Is that,
yeah.
Are we moving to that?
So I'm not sure where that comes from, honestly, but that was his nickname before he came to VCU.
Okay.
That has been for a while. I saw, because Coach Chris Cole, I think when they went out and got Jadrian Tracy in the transfer portal, they were tweeting like the star, the bam emojis, you know? I mean, that was what they were telling people, is that we went out and got Jadrian Tracy, because that emoji is supposed to mean bam. So that's been his nickname for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, Awan sitting next to me gives me the I knew that. This isn't your segment. This is Zach's segment. He gets to sound smart in this segment. You can sound smart at 11:45 when it's your segment. Zach Joachim. Go ahead.
So you had Robbie on before, right? I'm sorry I cut you off there. That I started to get frustrated about all the things in that Utah State game, man, because they had them, right? And you end up losing by three, but it's just, what do they end up, 16 of 28 from the free throw line?
Yeah, that's my takeaway from that game. Make a free throw. Just make a free throw. That's it.
And, you know, that Utah State matchup zone is confusing. I can see how it would be difficult for young guards to break that down. And it looked to me like, especially in that first half, that group of four underclassmen guards were a little wide-eyed at it. You know, and they'd obviously prepared for it, but they were going, huh, I don't know if I've ever tried to break something down like this before. And it was exactly like Phil Martelli said in his press conference leading up to the game. They created turnovers off of it, led to runouts. They were able to get going in transition, and they're really hard to guard in that context. And so VCU learned it's something that they're going to draw on for the rest of the season. Martelli has talked a lot about that collective experience and them needing to go through moments like that together. And so I think tough to face an opponent of that caliber and with, you know, kind of a difficult, unique defense to break down in just your second game of the season, but a great thing for them to build off of here as they enter a few more big opportunities in non-conference play in the form of NC State and then the trip to the Bahamas.
It's going to be fun. Virginia Tech down in the Bahamas. We'll get maybe a little international flavor there. You get Serbia against Greece. That'd be a fun one.
Jackson Didlake, our mutual friend of the program, former Times Dispatch reporter, has been raving about this Greek guy at Virginia Tech. He's the real deal, isn't he? Is he going to be a lottery pick? He's that good?
I consider the source, right? He's a Virginia Tech fan, but 32 points against Providence doesn't lie. It was a great first showing.
Jackson is adamant that Virginia Tech is better than VCU this year because that guy is so good. KenPom disagrees with him.
Well, let's play.
KenPom has like UVA at 54, VCU at 60, Virginia Tech at 67, or something like that. So it thinks they're all right about next to each other, the top programs in the state this year.
Well, I say let's play. Let's get him on the court in the Bahamas. Zach Joachim. Richmond Times Dispatch should be there tonight for VCU basketball. But we got to talk high school football as well because it's playoff weekend, Zach.
You mentioned Midlow Hermitage earlier, which is going to be a great matchup. I mean, this weekend you got to start with Saturday, right? And Trinity Benedictine in the BISAA state final. I think always in that first week of BHSL regionals, you know, you've got a lot of 1-8 and 2-7 matchups that maybe aren't going to be great games. From a BHSL perspective, I got my eyes on King William at Thomas Jefferson, which is kind of a fascinating matchup in 2A. Got Weldon Bradshaw written all over it, doesn't it? He's going to go cover that one. Those are two programs that Weldon has loved over the years. Keyshawn Hill for King William. His stats have been absurd throughout the year. So keep an eye on him. I think they got every chance to go and give TJ a real fight there in 2A. And then Hermitage having to go to Midlow. FW Post Stadium is one of the toughest places to go in the area. Gibson Gross is the Midlow quarterback. He's had a really strong season there. But Avery Curtis for Hermitage, their running back, has been one of my favorite kids to cover in the area this year. He's put up some monster numbers. He's definitely going to be in the All-Metro conversation. Had a fractured wrist early on in the year. I think he played the first four games or so of the season with a cast on that left wrist. Didn't fumble once playing with a cast on, and he's run for over 1,000 yards and had an awesome season. And so tip of the cap to him fighting through the early season injury, because he's been special. But then, man, I think all eyes are going to be on Acock Stadium on Pittaway Drive on Saturday for a noon kickoff between Benedictine and Trinity. It's just that matchup has decided the state's private school crown over the last few years. A lot of animosity has built between those two programs. I ended up putting them in my top 10 Richmond sports rivalries, and maybe that was recency bias from someone who's only covered sports in the area since 2018, but I think not since 2019 has a team other than Trinity or Benedictine won a state title. If you have not seen Davion Brown play football, you are missing out. He's one of the best talents in the area, and also was formerly a Penn State recruit. I don't know where Davion's going, but I know that Virginia Tech was in heavy consideration for him before James Franklin, you know, it was in the tea leaves that he was going to take him a job in Blacksburg. And from everything that I've heard, that's very close to being final, right? And so I think it's very possible that he's a future Hokie. Special, special talent. Trinity's going to try and get him the ball in space any which way that it can. Jet sweeps, screens in the passing game. And then Benedictine up front is just phenomenal with that O-line. They're going to try and pound the rock and play a really disciplined brand of football, and that game is going to be awesome.
It's a good fit. He's visited with Tech people. Tech people have visited with him. I also just, there are so many openings, and I think he's correct to wait and see if there's more openings that pop up. There's a lot of good openings coming up out there, and not enough supply of quality coaches.
No, you can't blame him with the success that he had in certain times at Penn State, right? There's obviously going to be a lot of interest in him out there. If you hear Jackson talk about it, he's going to have Virginia Tech in the college football playoff in a couple years here.
Well, they'll be basketball and football national champs. It'll be like Florida that year with Spurrier and Joakim Noah.
Can I get your, speaking of Mr. Diddley, can I get your thoughts on a bet that we made? Am I allowed to talk about this?
Can you talk about gambling on in sports media? Yeah, it does seem to be okay these days.
So before the season started, I bet him that the Pats were going to win 10 games, because I was feeling really good about how my Pats were going to look. And it was, I think, $20 I would owe him if they didn't, and $40 he would owe me if they did, because before the season, right? I
mean, you got odds.
I said last year, that seemed like a long shot. Now I look like a genius, and we're going to win 10 games. And then last night we're sitting at Sticky Rice for our dear friend Margot Wagner's farewell, because she's an awesome photographer who's leaving the Times-Dispatch for another career opportunity. And I went triple or nothing, Pats win the Super Bowl with him. I don't know if that was a smart bet.
No, it wasn't.
But I was feeling myself, and so he's going to owe me $120 if the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
I've never bet on my own team like that, because I always feel like it multiplies my emotional investment in the wrong way. Like, I would almost rather bet against the Jayhawks so that the options are they win, I'm elated, I don't care about money, like my team just won, or they lost, life sucks, but I have money, maybe I'll go buy myself something nice. Like, I always play
You're
it the other way.
There. Yeah.
Zach Joakim, Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Get to see you here in a few hours, courtside at the Siegel Center. Looking forward to that. And I'm sure we will catch up on Monday as well.
MP, you're the best, my friend. I'm excited for Raleigh on Monday. We're going to paint the town red, right?
That's NC State's color. It's already painted red. But we'll figure out the right colors to paint it. Zach Joakim, we're back after this. You're listening to the home of ECU basketball in Richmond, 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM.